Welcome to TanakhStudy.com. This is Gad Dishi, and together we're studying Sefer Melachim.
Perek Yud. Umalkat Shvah Shomat et Shema Shlomo Leshem Adonai, Vatavo Lenasoto Bechidot. Malkat Shvah, the Queen of Shvah. Shvah is the in the Sinai Peninsula, southwestern corner, also adjacent to, available to travel to Africa. Whether it's Ethiopia or it's Yemen is not listed in the sources too much, but the Queen of Shiva, Shomat et Shema Shlomo Leshem Adonai, she heard the reputation of Shlomo and his work for Hashem, meaning the Beit HaMikdash, and his greatness through Hashem. But Tavola Nasato Behidot, she came to test him with riddles, a form of using his wisdom. And in the Midrash, there are different colorful fillers in regards to what it is exactly that she tested him with, but the text does not say what exactly her riddles were. Batavo Yerushalayma, b'chayil kaved me'od, gemalim nos'im besamim v'zahav rav me'od ve'even yekara, batavo el Shlomo v'tadaber elav et kol asher haya im levava. And she came to Yerushalayim very heavily armed, and she needed her heavily armed entourage because she came with a great many valuable items, including camels that were carrying fragrances, perfumes, a lot of gold and jewels. Even Yakara can be seen as a Shem Kibbutzi, as a collective noun for all types of jewels, or it could be that she brought one particularly great diamond, you know, the Hope Diamond, she brought that one. Vatavo el Shlomo, and she came to Shlomo and spoke to him about everything that was on her mind. Im levava could be interpreted on her mind, but also some connotation of lev, of a heart, of everything that she was feeling, and maybe based on that, there are midrashim that relay some type of romantic air between Malkat Shva and Shlomo. Certainly based on next perek and how Shlomo deals with foreign queens and having them be incorporated into the harem, it wouldn't be unheard of that there should be such overtones or undertones in their conversation. Vayaged la Shlomo et kol devareha lo haya davar ne'alam min ha-melech asher lo higid la. And the king Shlomo was able to tell her everything that she wanted to hear. He solved all of her riddles. There wasn't anything that was beyond the king's grasp that he wasn't able to tell her. And Malkat Sheva took in all of the greatness of Shlomo, all of his wisdom, and the great palace that he built. Here it's not clear which bayit is being referred to. It seems to be the palace where the king was, and not necessarily Beit HaMikdash. And that's because you see in the context it's where Shlomo is, and the next pasuk is Umachal Shulchano, Umoshav Abadav, Umaamad Meshartav, Umalbushehem, Umashkav, Veolato, Ashiyale Bet Adonai, Vilhaya Ba Odruah. And Malkat Sheva is knocked off her feet, she's swept off her feet. She sees also what it is that is being served at Shlomo's table. He sees how all of the servants are seated, he sees how all of the different levels of the administrators that serve him have their own rankings, they have their own uniforms. She sees how Shlomo has people who serve him drink in charge of making sure that he doesn't get poisoned, and the korbanot that Shlomo brings to Beit HaMikdash, or rather his ascending to the Beit HaMikdash, that he has the spiritual side to him as well. And she was simply overwhelmed. But Tomer al HaMelech, Emet haya hadavar asher shamati be'artzi al dvarecha ve'al chokhmatecha. And she says, it's true what it is that I heard in my land about your wisdom and about the things that you say. V'lo he'emanti ladvarim ad asher abati v'tir'ena einai v'hineh lehu gad li achetzi hosafta chokhma v'tov el ha'shemua asher shamati. And I couldn't believe the things that were being told to me until I came and saw it with my own eyes. And now that I've seen it, they haven't even told me the half of it. This might be the source of the expression. That wasn't even the half of it. That's from here. You have, in addition to the chokhmah and the goodness that I heard about, you have even more than what it was that I was told. Ashrei anashecha, ashrei abadecha ele ha'omdim lefanecha tamid ha'shom'im et chokhmatecha. Says, oh, praiseworthy are your servants, are your people that you are king for. Praiseworthy are these servants that are standing before you every day, and they get a chance to hear all of the greatness and all of your wisdom. Yehi Adonai Elohecha Baruch, asher chafetz becha letitcha al kisei Yisrael, be'ahavat Adonai et Yisrael le'olam, v'yisimecha le'melech la'asot mishpat utzdaka. And here we have a recognition by Malkat Shva of Hashem. This is perhaps a highlight of Shlomo's magnificence and his grandeur, that is able to inspire non-Jewish royalty who come and are just awestricken by what it is that they see, and they're able to recognize the greatness of Shlomo to be attributable to Hashem, the idea of the Beit HaMikdash, of Shlomo's subservience to God, and they praise Hashem and they say, may God, your Lord, be blessed, that chose you, Chafetz Becha, that chose you, he desired you, to put you in charge of the kingdom of the nation of Israel. And it must be that God loves his people forever, and he placed you as king in order to carry out Mishpat Utzdakah, justice and judgment. Vatiten lamelech mea ve'esrim kikar zahav, ובסמים הרבה מאוד, ואבן יקרה, לא בא כבוסם ההוא עוד לרוב, אשר נתנה מלכת שבא למלך שלמה. And she, in her recognition, in her desire to give to King Shlomo something to show her admiration, gave him 120 kikar zahav. If you remember, that was the amount of the gold that was given to Shlomo from Hiram, and he had to give back, in terms for that, 20 cities worth of produce, or 20 cities themselves. And so this is a tremendous amount of gold. It seems to be that it was given in one shot, just like Hiram gave it all in one shot, so it seems. And a tremendous amount of perfumes. And Evan Yakara, again, either the one hope diamond, the gigantic diamond, or it was it's a collective noun for many jewels. And when we talk about the perfumes, there was never ever a time where we were able to have that much perfume as when Malkat Sheva gave over her present, her gift offering, to the King Shlomo. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'gam oni Hiram asher nasa zahav me'ofir, hevi me'ofir atzei almugim harbe me'od ve'even yekara. And in addition to all the wonderful gold that they brought from Ophir, the boats and the sailors of Hiram that we read about earlier, not only brought back the gold, but also brought with them from Ophir, Atzei Almugim, the sandalwood, a lot of sandalwood, and Eben Yekara, and a precious stone, or precious stones, the same type of collective noun issue we had earlier. Now, what does this have to do with anything? Well, it's interesting if you actually find out what Atzei Almugim, sandalwood, is. So apparently sandalwood is a heavy yellow, fine-grained wood, but it's also an aromatic wood, and they retain fragrance for even decades at a time. And therefore, the sandalwood issue that they're talking about now only appears here because it came into connection with the wonderful fragrances and perfumes that Malkat Sheva brought with her. And this is a great example of when you are searching for what it is Atzei Almugim means, and you just figure it's some type of tree, you're left with a big question mark about what this pasuk is doing here. Once you figure out a little bit more precisely, suddenly everything clicks. And so we have wonderful fragrances throughout the kingdom of Shlomo, both from the fragrant trees that they brought from Ophir, and also from the perfumes that Malkat Shva brought. Vayas HaMelech et Atzei Almugim Mis'ad lebet Adonai ulbet HaMelech וכינורות ונבלים לשרים לא בא כן עצי אלמוגים ולא נראה עד היום הזה. And from these special wood, the sandalwood, the king Shlomo made mis'ad, he made wood pillars for Beit HaMikdash and for the palace, and he also made the types of harps And although sometimes we associate it with a violin, it's not the violin, it's that it's perhaps the smaller handheld harp for the singers. And we haven't seen any type of this type of atzel mugim, the sandalwood, until this very day. So whoever's writing Melachim is obviously writing it later. And we know that indeed, according to Chazal, it's being written after the events. V'hamelech Shlomo natan l'malchat Sheva et kol chefsa asher sha'ala milvad asher natan la kiyad ha'melech Shlomo v'tefen v'telech le'artza hi v'avadeha. And Shlomo HaMelech gave Malkat Sheva, apparently feeling this great indebtedness to her for all of her very generous gifts that she just gave, whatever she wanted. If you give me 120 talents of gold, it's all of what the 20 cities worth that Hiram was giving over, and you just give it as a gift in addition to all these other things that you brought. So you just ask whatever you want. We'll give you whatever we can have and share with you. In addition to what Shlomo HaMelech would normally give all of his foreign dignitaries that would come. And at the end, we have the Pasuk telling us she, Vatefen, that she turned and she went back to her land, she and her servants. And it seems to be that there's this, again, this undertone or overtone of whether Shlomo HaMelech, when he gave Malkat Sheva all that she desired, everything that she asked for, whether that also carries with it some sexual connotation, or whether or not he was in love with her and he was trying to win her over to have her stay as part of the harem, and then she decides, but Tefen, Vatelech Le'atza, she turns and she decides to go to her country and remain loyal to her kingdom, and she and her servants return back home to Sheva. Now again, Sheva, I'll give you a little contest, you guys can go figure out Sheva. There are three different Shevas in Bereshit. Two in Parashat Noach, one is a little bit later and separate from that listing, but there are three different Shvas. It's not clear which Shva we're referring to, if it's one of the Bnei Kedem or one of the Bnei Shem, but she is the queen of Shva, and named after an patriarch of Shva. V'him mishkal ha-zahav asher ba l'shlomo b'shana echat 666 kikar zahav. Okay, and now we have an accounting of all of the gold that Shlomo got in 1 year, 636 kikar zahav. Now, it could be that they're counting the 120 of Hiram and another 120 of Malkat Sheva, that's already 240. And then we had, from the ones that came back from Ophir, that was already also an additional 420. That would get us to the 640, but we can't really say that Shlomo took all of the 420 from Ophir. He was in cahoots and partnership with Hiram, and of course Shlomo had other sources of gold aside from these three major imports of gold for that 1 year. And but it does make sense in taking into consideration these gifts, and that's perhaps why the Pasuk is telling us here that Shlomo made it big that year. He had these three major sources of gold, and that really brought up the coffers. The treasury department was partying, and we can have an expansion of the economy. We have lots of reserves. And all that gold, that's all aside from all of the business that was going on and the traffic of all the different traders and of all of the different kings that came amongst the Am Yisrael. And the pachot are like the governors of the different districts who had to collect the taxes and bring them to Shlomo HaMelech from around the entire kingdom. And so we have Pasuk Yud Dalet going back basically to these ideas of the Zahar from Ophir and the gifts, because we have all the rest of the stuff that we normally think when he would get gold from in Pasuk Tetvav. V'yas HaMelech Shlomo Matayim Tzina Zahav Shachut 600 zahav ya'aleh ala tzina ha'echad. And with all of this wonderful gold, Shlomo HaMelech decides to make 200 targets of gold, and each one had 600 shekel weight of gold that was plating this type of a target. A tzina doesn't have to necessarily be a target. It's also known to be a three-sided shield. In the Da'at Mikra, they have a wonderful photo of this type of protective element that goes out to war. It's so heavy and so big that it needs its own person to carry it. It encases the fighter on three sides, leaving the back exposed for him to enter and exit from. And it's as tall as the warrior, as the soldier, and this way they're impervious to flying arrows so long as they stay behind it. And it provides them with this type of a safety. And so these are tremendous amounts of gold because they're so large. And there are 600 shekel of zahav on each one of them. Ushlosh me'ot maginim zahav shachut, shloshet manim zahav ya'ale ala magen ha'echat, v'yitrim ha'melech bet ya'ale lebanon. And in addition to those three-sided maginim, he has also 300 shields, which are the ones that we normally think of, those round handheld ones. He had each 300 of those made, which were also from zahav shachut. Zahav shachut is perhaps either beaten gold, or it's gold that can be fashioned, and gold can be made into string. It's very malleable, which means that it's very fine and very valuable, and Shlomo HaMelech is able to expend this gold on these decorative elements because he is blessed with so much of it. And so he has three shaloshet manim on each one of these shields, and the king placed all of these on display in Bet Yad Lebanon, the house that looks like a forest. And we explained there, based on Rabbi Israel, that there were those mirrors there that made it have that expansive look. And indeed, Bet Yad Lebanon seems to be the place to take all the dignitaries, some type of a place that you can show off, a large hall. It's a magnificent effect. It shows how smart Shlomo is and how wonderful he's able to use this ideas of manipulating the eyesight, and also to show the wealth of the kingdom. And he also made a throne that was made out of ivory, a large throne, and he covered that also with fine gold. So even though it was already a very valuable throne made out of ivory, he also has it plated with gold. It doesn't necessarily mean the entire thing is plated with gold. We have decorative elements that are plating it with gold. Shesh ma'alot la'kiseh, v'rosh agol la'kiseh me'acharav, v'yadot mizeh u'mizeh el mekom ha'shavet, u'shnayim arayot omdim etzel hayadot. There are six steps that go up to this throne, and at the top of the throne, the head was round, meaning either the top of the seat is rounded, which I guess is harder to do, and not break the stone, not break the ivory, or rather it means that on top of the throne there was also a stationary crown that would be over Shlomo's head as he took his seat in the throne. And in addition, there were armrests on either side of where he was sitting, and there are two lions standing beside the arms, meaning one on each side. And these lions are presumably either made of gold or made of ivory. And there are some who would think that they are also real lions. And Shlomo HaMelech, who was the smartest of old men and could midrashically speak to all the animals, was able to sit there calmly with these two lions, one on each side. And this also follows through for Pasuk Chaf as well. Ushnem asar arayim omdim sham al shesha ma'alot mizeh u'mizeh lo na'asachen lechol mamlachot. He says, we also had 12 lions on these six steps, one on each side, and no other king had such a thing. This was a one-of-a-kind innovation of Shlomo HaMelech, that on each one of the steps are these elaborate decorative lions, and they are on each one of the steps going up to the throne. V'chol kelei mashkei HaMelech Shlomo zahav, v'chol kelei Bet Yad Lebanon zahav sagur. En kesef, lo nechshav yimei Shlomo le'uma. As in all of what Shlomo HaMelech used as cups and anything has to do with the drinking, they're all made of gold. And all of the types of utensils they needed in order to host in the Bet Yara Lebanon, all of the dignitaries that were coming, they also were of pure gold. There's nothing that was made of silver because it didn't even matter. It didn't even count. There was no value to it. In the times of Shlomo, it was something that wasn't considered to be worthwhile serving with. It wasn't something that had any impressive value to it. Everything was made out of gold. Pasuk Chav Bet, Ki Oni Tarshish LaMelech Bayam Im Oni Hiram. Achat LeShalosh Shanim Tavo Oni Tarshish Noset Zahav VaChesef Shen Habim VeKofim VeTukiim. Because the king had his navy with the powerful Tarshish boats, which are strong sailboats, or it could possibly be that they were built in Tarshish or imported from Tarshish, together with the boats that were from Hiram. And once every 3 years, they would manage to make that long trip, either to Africa or to India, and they were able to come back carrying great amounts of gold and silver, even though we just said before silver was like negligible, but they bothered to bring it back, ivory, monkeys, and tukiyim. We normally translate as parrots, but really it's peacocks. And again, either way, it's a very colorful array of things to bring back, pleasing to the eye. These are unique, exotic animals to bring back, and they are indeed valuable. And these are the things that adorn and make Moshe Lamo's kingdom that much grander. And so we have the idea of the tremendous amount of gold, we have the tremendous amount of luxury items, of the ivory. Vayigdal ha-melech Shlomo mikol malchei ha-ares le'osher ul-chokhma. And again, the idea that Shlomo ha-melech would get all of these wonderful things already promised to him from the very beginning by God in Giv'on in response to his request for Alev Shomea. He also will have the osher and the kavod and the chokhmah. Shlomo HaMelech indeed is greater than all the other kingdoms. He is a superpower. And indeed the amounts of land that are under Shlomo's control are unprecedented and will never be able to be replicated. And soon we'll find out how that came to be and what the price there was to pay for it. But in this perek, everything is positive. All of Shlomo's endeavors are successful. And we are seeing the heights of Shlomo's ability to reach out to the rest of the world and show, have them recognize God's sovereignty, as we had with Malkat Sheva, blessing God and blessing God for picking Shlomo and having him be the one to be the king of Am Yisrael. The whole globe, all the earth, is looking to seek the wisdom of Shlomo. They want counsel with Shlomo. Lishmo et chokhmato, ashenatan Elohim b'libo, to hear, to learn from all of the great wisdom that God gave to him. V'hemma mevi'im ish minchato, kile chesef uchle zahav uslamot v'neshek u'psamim susim ufradim devar shana b'shana. And every year they keep coming and bringing their tributes to Shlomo to show their subservience. And in addition, when they want to have their council, they bring other gifts as well. They're each bringing vessels of utensils of silver. Again, the silver wasn't really thought to be such a big deal. And the golden items, as well as the elaborate dress and the adorned weapons. Again, this it may be actual weapons for the army, but in all likelihood, in this context, it's probably weaponry that was adorned either with gold or with silver, special type of decorative weapons, and the perfumes and the horses and the mules every year. Ve'yesof Shlomo Rechev u'farashim. While on the subject of susim and pradim, we move over to the idea of rechev u'farashim, of the chariots and the horsemen. Vahilo elef ve'arba'meot rechev. We may not think that's too much, but in those days, 1,400 chariots is a very impressive array of chariots. When we get towards the reign of Achav, we'll see what the play of the chariots, the role the chariots play there. U'shnemasar elef parashim. And Shlomo HaMelech has 12,000 horsemen. Vayanhem be'arei harechev, and he bestowed them, he placed them in the special cities that were designed to house the chariots. Ve'im ha-melech b'Yerushalayim, and he had a different entourage away from the main base that were his SWAT team, the special guard of the king, that they were at the ready in Yerushalayim. Vayiten ha-melech et ha-kesef b'Yerushalayim ka'avanim, ve'et ha-razim natan ka-shikmim asher ba-shfela la-rov. And in the times of King Shlomo, the silver in Yerushalayim was as plentiful as the stones. And we know that Yerushalayim is full of stones. And the cedars, the very precious wood, the strong wood, it was as if it was like some sycamore tree in the Shvela that was they're so plentiful. It's not something that is even valuable anymore. We have so much of them. again, the idea of economic success, it's staggering amounts of plenty that are going on in the kingdom under Shlomo's reign. Umotza hasusim, asher leShlomo miMitzrayim uMikveh, so hare haMelech yichu miMikveh bemchir. And the horses that Shlomo had, they were brought. Their place of origin was from Mitzrayim and from Kaveh. Now, I've seen many different perushim of umikveh, okay, to some idea of the gathering, whether it's of the merchants or the traders, or idea of a tikvat chut hashani, to refer to some type of special pishtan, but I think the most convincing is the dat mikra, understanding of kaveh, which is a place. It's near... Kilikia, I think he said, in Anatolia, way up, beyond the Greece, and that was the extent of Shlomo's kingdom. He brought it from the very, very, very south, from Mitzrayim to the very, very, very north parts of the kingdom, of a place called Keweh, and those were the sources of the horses, and the Sochare HaMelech Yichu Mikveh B'mchir. And they were able to buy these horses at full price. They didn't have to worry about it, even though it was far, far away. And to get them come all the way back to Yerushalayim was a large trek. It didn't bother them at all. They had plenty of resources in order to do that. V'ta'ale v'tetze merkava mimitzrayim v'shesh mod kesef v'sus v'chamishim u'me'ah v'chen lechol malchei hachitim u'malchei aram b'yadam yatzau. And the chariots that were being sold and exported from Mitzrayim, they were doing so at the price of 600 shekel kesef, and each horse was 150, and this was so for all of the kings of the Chittim and all of the kings of Malchei Aram, Beyadam Nasau, meaning that they all went through the hands of the Sochare HaMelech. I think that the point of this pasuk is to tell us that one of two things: either that there was international trade and Am Yisrael became the expert middleman from taking all of the horses from their sources and being able to be the one to corner the market and establish a single price, and therefore they were the ones who were able to set the price throughout the kingdom of Shlomo, or that the rest of the kingdoms surrounding Shlomo HaMelech also were in the same economic sphere, and Shlomo HaMelech was in the same economic realm, the same league as these other kingdoms, and therefore he was a large superpower competing with Aram, competing with the Malchei HaChitim, and that's what the idea of the paragraph, of the sentence of the pasuk is, to tell us that really Shlomo HaMelech managed to build up Am Yisrael's reserves, both for economic reasons and for trade reasons and for being able to have the diplomatic and political ties, and his tourist attraction in Yerushalayim of Bet Ya'ala Lebanon, in addition to his, so to speak, entertainment show in regards to how wise he is, really drew lots of crowds and drew lots of commerce to the city, and he was able to make Am Yisrael into a superpower. Tremendous buildup of Rechev u'Parashim, and again starting from Mitzrayim, obviously is a cautionary note or a direct transgression of what was prohibited for a king to do based in Sefer Dvarim, Beloyer Belo Susim, that he couldn't have a lot of chariots, not a lot of horses, and definitely not to take the people back to Mitzrayim. But this is the beginnings of the cracks in the armor of Shlomo's wonderful reign. We already saw other hints throughout the Perakim that were earlier, and this coming up Perak next, in Perak Yud Aleph, we're going to hit the heart of the matter in regards to what it is that throws Shlomo's kingdom off.